a windstorm up here. Hallelujah. Well, happy Father's Day to all of our dads this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 through 19. King James Version says, "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation? And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." As we read this passage of Scripture, it's talking about the birth of Isaac. I want us this morning to take a note of some of the things we find in this passage. One of the things that God says here concerning Abraham, God says, "I know him." Amen? It's the word, in the Hebrew, it's the word yada. And it's an interesting word because it's used 947 times in the Old Testament. But the interesting thing about it is it's translated 99 different ways. So when you find something like that, you have to interpret Scripture with other Scripture. What did God mean when he said, "I know him"? Amen? So one of the things we know about Abraham is that he had a relationship with God. He not only knew about God, knew of God, but he grew in his relationship to the point that he was called the friend of God. Amen? Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7. It reads, "Art not thou our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever?" In Isaiah 41:8, we find a very similar scripture. It says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." And in the New Testament, we find another reference to that. It says in James chapter 2, verse 23, says the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." So one of the translations that you find for the word yada is it means literally, figuratively, to know someone, to acknowledge them, to have an acquaintance with them, a familiar friend. Abraham had developed his relationship with God to the point that God knew his heart. Amen? He knew that he would teach his children the ways of God. The Message paraphrase in Genesis 18 reads like this. It says, "Then God said, Shall I keep back from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham is going to become a large and strong nation. All the nations of the world are going to find themselves blessed through him. Yes, I've settled on him as the one to train his children and future family to observe God's way of life, live kindly and generously and fairly, so that God can complete in Abraham what he promised him. Praise the Lord. Abraham had developed a relationship with God. He spent time with God. God says, I know him. I know enough about him that he's going to train his children after him in the way that they should go. He's going to teach them the word. The New American Standard, it says he's going to command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. Amen. God knew Abraham. It's kind of like those people that you develop a relationship with, and you get to know their character, and you get to know their values, and you know enough about them that you're going to trust them to do the right thing. Amen? You're going to trust them to be people of character, to be people of their word. God knew because of his heart that Abraham was going to point his children, who he didn't even have yet, and his household, he was going to point them in the right direction. Amen? One of the first things that we see that God says about Abraham is just that. I know enough about him that he's going to point his children in the right direction. The most important responsibility that a father has is to set the spiritual direction of the home. Dads, I hate to tell you, it's not the mom's job. It's our job. We are to set the spiritual direction of our household. Amen? I love the example that Joshua set. Look at Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. The interesting thing to note here is that Joshua was toward the end of his life here when he makes this statement. So the encouraging thing is that it's never too late to make the changes. Amen? This is included in Joshua's farewell address. But Joshua says here in Joshua 24, starting in verse 14. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Joshua made a commitment. It didn't matter what everyone else around him was going to do. He says, you should serve the Lord, but if you don't find that that's good, then you just go do what you're going to do. Amen? You can serve the gods that were on the other side of the river, the gods that were in Egypt, whatever god you want to come up with. Amen? But I and my house are going to serve the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who we are going to serve. Amen? The God who delivered them from bondage. It didn't matter how many gods they had encountered in the past. or the ones they were encountering in the present, he and his household were going to follow the Lord. It's interesting to note that in the world today, it's estimated that there's between 4,200 and 4,300 religions in the world today. Think about that. I mean, we think of a few big ones. You know, Christianity is still the largest religion in the world, followed by Islam, then Hindu, then Buddhism. And then there's some other ones, Eastern religions thrown in there. So it's not like that we as fathers, we as parents, aren't going to see that our children are going to encounter other religions. Amen? Other thoughts, other ideas out there. People serve and worship many things and many gods, and their influence can be seen in our society today even deeper and deeper and deeper. It is imperative as believers in Jesus Christ that we as fathers or father figures lead with a singular focus and lead with a singular purpose, that we point the direction of us and our household to serve the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God we're talking about. That's the Lord we're talking about. The God that we find in these pages right here of the Bible. Amen? We can't leave it up to chance that our children end up serving the Lord. Or those people that God brings into our path that we're maybe father figures to them. Amen? We need to point them to God. We need to point them to the God of the Bible. We, like Joshua, must listen to the advice and the instruction found here in the Word. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've got a lot of godly men in this church. Amen? You ladies could have been much more forceful with your end. Amen. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." God is telling fathers, he's telling mothers, he's telling parents that they have a responsibility to teach their children to love him with all their hearts, with all their soul, and with all their mind. But he also adds something that we tend to skip over. He says, "They shall be in your heart." We as fathers, as parents, have to have the Word of God in our heart to begin with. It has to be the guiding principle in our lives. Our relationship with God needs to model our faith to our children. Are we going to be perfect? No. We going to miss it? Yes, we will. But we need to be quick to ask them to forgive us and to just get right back on track. Amen? Our faith has to be that defining trait in everything that we think, everything that we say, and everything that we do. Amen? As fathers, as parents, we just cannot tell them to do those things. When I was a youth pastor, one of the biggest things that I seen with kids was, you know, kids tell you everything. When you're the youth pastor, they can spill their guts. When you develop that relationship with them and they know you, they'll tell you. My mom and dad, they put on a good show at church, but they're not like that. Amen? Don't be like that. Live it out in front of them. Amen? Don't be hypocrisy. Don't be model hypocrisy to them. Be the kind of people. Let them know you're not going to be perfect, but you always got to point them to God. Point them to Jesus. Amen? Let them see you modeling out your faith in front of them. Talking about God at your breakfast table. Talking about God whenever. Amen? He says when you get up and when you're going through, and basically, this, it should be everything. It should be part of your lives. Hallelujah. The great thing is he gives us some keys in how to do it. He tells them and us how to impress the command on our children. Talk about it when you're sitting around. Talking about it when you're on vacation. Just point out to them the majesty of God's creation. How marvelous it is. You can always use those things when you're in awe of some things yourself. You can share that all of what God has done in your life. Share it with them. What God's brought you out of. Amen? You don't have to share all the dirty, dark secrets of them. Just let them know that you weren't maybe not always like that. Praise the Lord. He says when you lie down to sleep and when you get up first thing in the morning, the teaching, the encouraging, the demonstration of our faith continues all day long. They are to keep the Word of God a part of everything that they do and everything that we do. Teaching doesn't happen by accident. Amen? You have to teach on purpose. You know, one of the things that they talked about at Bible school was when you preach with a purpose. Not just getting up here, just speaking some words. You're either building beliefs in somebody or you're strengthening beliefs in somebody. You have to formulate a plan. You have to teach your children that way. Amen? If you don't have a plan, it's probably not going to get done. Amen? I mean, you ever write out a to-do list? Some of you are smiling. Some of you are shaking your head yes. Some of you are afraid to answer. Is this a quiz? Some people have to-do lists. If not, they get off and follow rabbit trails. Amen? That's why I have to have notes. I say, well, you just should be led by the Spirit. Just preach from the Bible. Well, I'm preaching from the Bible. But I need notes so when I get off on rabbit trails like I do sometimes and I say things and I'm like, wow, where'd that come from? I know where it comes from. Somebody needed to hear that under the unction of the Holy Spirit, but I can look back at all areas where I need to go back. Amen? If If you don't have a plan, if you don't have a purpose, if you don't have an idea of what you want to instill in your children, it's not going to happen. God's Word tells us how to do that. Amen? Proverbs, look at Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. I've had parents tell me, well, they're old enough to make a decision to whether they want to come to church or not. These kids were like 12, 13 years old. No, they don't. They're not old enough to make that decision. As I've said many times, how many dumb decisions did many of us make when we were in our 20s and 30s? Some of us still make dumb decisions in our 60s. Amen? Come on. A kid 11 to 12 years old isn't smart enough, isn't educated enough, doesn't have enough fortitude, doesn't know enough about things to make a right decision about whether I'm going to go to church or not. Amen? No, you're going to church. You live in my house. You use my electricity. Amen? You drink my pop. You eat my food. You're going to church. Amen? This isn't a democracy. This is a dictatorship. Get in the car. Amen? So what it is? Oh, that's kind of harsh. Yes, it is. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen? Train up a child in the way he should go. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Says, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Amen? Teach your children about God. Teach your children about how much that God loves them and how much God cares for them. Teach them about becoming the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? Teach them all those things, and they will learn to discipline their life according to the Word of God. They will develop that relationship. You need to lead them to the point where they make Jesus the Lord of their life. You may not even be the one who leads them to Christ. It might be one of the Sunday school teachers. It might be a youth pastor. It might be somebody else who leads them to Jesus. But your job is to sow the seed, to plow the ground, to prepare their hearts to be soft and be receptive to the Word of God. Amen? Train them up in the way that they should go. Remember in Genesis, God said, I've settled in him as the one to train his children and future family to observe God's way of life. To live kindly and generously and fairly. One of the most important things a father does is to teach his children. You're teaching them whether you recognize it or not. Amen? Absentee fathers and deadbeat dads are teaching them they aren't very important and they have no value. Fathers who are always critical and abusive are provoking their children to wrath, instilling in them a distrust and fear of a father figure. Godly fathers teach their children to love Jesus and their Heavenly Father as their first priority, and every other relationship is built off the fruit of that relationship. You want to see people that are always struggling in their relationships? It's because they don't have a relationship with God. Amen. They're always looking for somebody else to make them happy. The only one who's ever going to satisfy you and make you happy and make you content and bring joy into your life is your heavenly Father. Amen. And so many fathers paint such a horrible picture of what their heavenly Father is like that most people, a lot of the kids, adults don't want anything to do with God. If he's anything like my dad, I don't want anything to do with him, they say. Can't blame him. But we have the opportunity to show them what God's really like. Amen? Hallelujah. A part of that teaching is developing in children a proper understanding that there are consequences for their behavior. We are seeing the manifestation of what society in general looks like when parents abdicate their responsibility of disciplining their children. Amen? Proverbs 3:11-12 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." Properly disciplining your children is an act of love. It's pointing them in the right direction. It's not being mean or cruel. It's quite the opposite. Those parents who have allowed their children to act out and be disobedient throughout their formative years have done them a great disservice. Amen. Teaching them that it's never their fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's their teacher's fault. It's the bus driver's fault. It's those other kids' fault. It's the coach's fault. Amen. Or there's always some excuse as to what's going on. He's just tired. He just needs a nap. No, I'll tell you what he needs. Amen. Amen. I remember standing in Walmart in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I heard this child screaming for probably 15 minutes. No! No! Screaming at the top of his lungs. I get up to the checkout, and there's this boy, probably 10 or 11 years old, in the cart, screaming and yelling, and the mom standing in front of him, and she goes, "I just don't know what to do with him." And I said, "I do." And five or six people behind me all chimed in and said, "Yeah, we do. Let us have him for a couple minutes." Amen. That child needed to be taught discipline. I mean, kids are out of control today. Screaming in restaurants, screaming and yelling and just going crazy. Amen? The parents see nothing wrong with that. Sorry, that's an issue. Little Johnny needs to learn how to behave. Amen? Pastor Will, that's just kind of old archaic thinking. You're just not enlightened. No, I've been enlightened. I'm going to invite what the Word says. Amen? Train up a child. Amen? Don't provoke your children to wrath. That word provoke means basically lead to frustration. Don't always tell them that they're never doing anything right. Don't get to that point. You need to let them know when they do well. You need to encourage that. But they need to realize that part of learning that is there are consequences for their actions. They need to be taught accountability. Never teaching them to submit to anyone but themselves is a path that leads people straight to hell. It's truth. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee to you, or flee from you. Amen? In all the New Testament incidences where the word submit occurs, the word is translated from the Greek word hupotasso. The word hupo means under, and the word tasso means to arrange. So, it's talking about being in subjection to someone. You need to train your children that they need to arrange their life under the authority of Almighty God. You need to model that to your children. If you're not in subjection to God, they're not going to be in the subjection to God. And as a result of you teaching them to be in the subjection to God and the Word of God, they will be in subjection to the police. They will be in subjection to their teachers. Subjection to everyone around them. Amen? The word's full meaning is to obey, to put under, to be subject to, submit oneself to be under obedience or be obedient to. The word is used as a military term meaning to arrange troops in division in a military fashion under the command of a leader. The word of what it means, this word is a wonderful definition of what it means to submit to God. It means to arrange oneself under the command of the divine viewpoint rather than living according to the way that you want to live or the world tells you to live. It's a choice. Remember? Joshua said, choose this day whom you're going to serve. It's a daily choice. How many, being a parent is hard. Amen. It's hard to raise up children. It's hard to discipline children. It's hard doing that. Amen. It's not easy to do. Children must be taught to arrange their life, their viewpoints, their temper, their action under someone else's viewpoint. First, their parents' viewpoint rather than their own, but ultimately it's God's viewpoint rather than their own. It doesn't just happen one time. It's an ongoing battle. But it's the parents' responsibility to do it. Obedience requires us to humble ourselves, to surrender to the authority of another. Amen? The Word of God tells us that God resists pride. He resists the proud. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Everybody doing okay this morning? 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. Apostle Peter wrote here in 1 Peter 5, 5, it says, "You younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." It's hard to humble yourself when you've never been taught to be in subjection to someone else. Amen? We need to teach our children humility. We need to teach them to be humble, to humble themselves before God. Amen? One cannot submit to God without humility. Therefore, having a humble and a submissive heart is a choice we make. We, as born-again believers, daily make a choice to submit ourselves to God for the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. Amen? Conforming us into the image of Christ. Remember, as a parent, you're reflecting who God is. God does not require us to submit because he is a tyrant, but because he is a loving father and he knows what's best for us. Amen? The blessings and the peace that we gain from humbly surrendering and submitting ourselves to him daily are a gift of grace that nothing in this world can compare to. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 6. It says, "For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Praise the Lord. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." Praise the Lord. Any of you ever had your Heavenly Father correct you? Yeah. It's called conviction. You ever spoken a terse word to someone and the Holy Spirit says, "You need to go back and you need to apologize to them." "I don't want to. They deserve what I told them." Amen? But the Holy Spirit just keeps, "You need to go. You need to go." Whether it's your spouse, or whether it's your children, or whether it's someone you work with, or whatever it may be, the Holy Spirit will convict you. He will discipline you. I've had him discipline me before, big time. Amen? It wasn't pleasant. But we need to realize that he's doing it out of love. He's doing it, you know, that's the thing we need to impress to our children, that the reason we're disciplining them and training them is because we love them. We don't want them to grow up and not be in subjection to anybody. We don't want them to grow up and spend eternity in hell. Amen. Discipline is not easy, and it's definitely not fun, but when it's done out of love and as a form of training, as the Word says, it produces good things. The Word says it is profitable and opens the door for us to become partakers of holiness and righteousness. When you train your children to respect God, to love God, to follow after God, they're going to come to a point where they become the righteousness of God. Amen? Another thing we are to do is to train our children and model to them the compassion of God. As it said there in the Message translation, to live kindly and generously and fairly. Psalm 103:13 says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Train your children to live kindly and generously and fairly. Amen. Father needs to love his children. That love needs to be demonstrated and modeled to our children. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Two more scriptures and we'll close here. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 8. The love chapter tells us what love does, what it looks like. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13. Starting in verse 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Another translation reads, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Say, well, how do I love my children? Just try to model what it says here. Read what the Message paraphrase says about it. The father needs to love. It's hard being a father today. It's always been hard being a father. We celebrate Father's Day today. And the thing to remember is after you've done your best and after you've tried to model it out, you just have to lift your family up to the Lord in prayer. And say, Lord, help me. I've done my best. I know I've missed it. Bring your children to church or your grandchildren. Do Bible studies with them. Have devotions with them. But above all, introduce them to their Heavenly Father. Model who a Heavenly Father is and what he looks like by the way you live your life. you will have done your job and you will have done it well. They'll be with you in eternity because of that. Amen? Because Jesus made us a promise in John 15:15. Because just the same type of relationship that Abraham had with God, we as fathers and we as parents and our children can have that same type of relationship. John 15:15 says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Everything that we need to know about being successful as parents and being successful as fathers is found right here. Amen. God the Father wants to know you. He wants to know your children. He wants to be called not only their father, but their friend. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you for your word. We thank you, Father, that we can be the parents, the fathers that you call us to be, the granddads, whatever station in life we're at right now, Lord. That we can be that godly influence to those that aren't even part of our earthly family. But Father, we can just model our faith to them. People that walk in humility and walk in grace. Lord, walk with a purpose and a plan to train our children and even those spiritual children that we have, Lord. Train them in the way that they should be. And Father, I just pray that you just encourage each and every father here, each and every mother that are present here today, just encourage them as they go through this coming week, that they can do everything that you call them to do, to be the parents that you call them to be, Father. Just thank you for that. Praise you for that. And Lord, just encourage those whose children may have already been grown that it's never too late. They can speak life and speak into their children that aren't even, they don't live in their house right now, but they're still part of their household. Just thank you and praise you for that.